Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
It sure is, and we do this every single Wednesday, Relationship Therapy. If there's anything you would like us to discuss in Relationship Therapy, you can always email the show, jen@rte.ie. Okay, so adult diagnosis of autism and ADHD has increased massively in the last number of years. And as our understanding of neurodiversity grows, the woman who invented the word says that some autistic people could no longer be considered as having a disability at all. Instead, their autism could be regarded as part of their personality. But what does this all mean for people on the dating scene? Well, on the line with me now is our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
We've never done this before.
Oh my God, I can't believe we've never done this in so long, because there's so many people who are neurodivergent. And so it's a great thing to talk about.
Okay, now you just said it there. And before we dive into dating, can you get us up to speed on what neurodivergence and neurodiversity means these days?
Yes, I definitely can. So these terms actually get confused quite a lot. So neurodiversity refers to the naturally occurring diversity of human minds, of brains. So it's a biological fact that we're diverse in how our brains work, just like we're diverse in our ethnicity, gender, sexuality, things like that. And so neurodivergent is an umbrella term for individuals who have brains that diverge from what is seen in particular culture or society as typical.
Okay.
So this can be acquired or genetic, meaning that it can be, you know, an innate part of you, or that you were born with, or something that you acquire over time. So an individual person cannot be neurodiverse, because neurodiverse is a term to describe a group of individuals who represent the spectrum of neurodiversity, which might include different kinds of neurodivergent people and also neurotypical people. Neurotypical being the term that we use for someone who has a mind that falls within the society standards of what is deemed typical or common. So there we have some idea of what this means, but it basically means that neurodivergence is now, you know, it's becoming much less stigmatized. We're recognizing that a huge percentage of people are neurodivergent in some way, because we also now have this whole umbrella, which means that it doesn't just include things like autism spectrum and ADHD. It also includes things, you know, we have like dyslexia, dyspraxia. It also includes things like PTSD and things like bipolar, epilepsy, OCD, misophonia, which is where you have a high sensitivity to sounds. It also includes Down syndrome, synesthesia, which is something that I myself have. So this is really interesting how many people are now falling under the umbrella, because you're looking at probably maybe even a majority of people, which also brings into question, what the hell do we mean by neurotypical? Because lots of people have brains that diverge from what is seen as kind of the norm.
Mm. Okay, so what kind of things can make dating difficult as a neurodivergent person, and how does it affect relationships?
Yeah, so there's loads of things that it can affect. So an example, you know, people with sensory issues. So let's say an autistic person might find that sensory issues lead them to have, you know, what is often called like a meltdown, meaning that they're getting overstimulated from lights, sounds, smells. That could be because you're in a busy bar. It could be for all sorts of reasons. It might be, you know, that the person they're with is wearing a perfume that's very strong, and that is kind of sending them over the edge. Now, not all autistic people have sensory issues, or some of them, you know, they might have sensory issues only in particular areas or at particular times, but that's a good idea of things that might affect people in terms of sensory stuff. Then you've got things like, let's say with ADHD, you know, depending on the type of ADHD, some people have much more kind of hyperactive focused ADHD, and some people have much more inattentive ADHD, meaning that they find it difficult to focus. And so that might might mean that the person comes across as being maybe a poor listener, or they find it difficult to hold on to information. So it might seem like they're not interested or don't care in the person they're on a date with. But actually, you know, it's that how their brain works means that they find it more difficult to hold on to certain kinds of information and to focus. So it can mean that having more awareness of these kinds of things and ways to talk about it can mean that there's much less misunderstanding and strife when dating, because you can have an idea of your own kind of limitations as, you know, as a neurodivergent person, because also we can't lump neurodivergent people together, because there's, as I just, you know, kind of was talking about there, a huge range in what neurodivergent can mean and how it can play out. So someone who's dyslexic is not necessarily going to present at all the way someone who is, you know, has bipolar, or someone else who has ADHD. So
neurodivergent people, they can date neurotypical people successfully, right? I mean, so Lau would fall under neurodivergent because he has, you just said it there, dyslexia.
Dyslexia, yeah.
And I'm neurotypical. And, well, so far so good. So they must be able to date successfully, right?
Totally. So you will find that sometimes, again, this is often a question where people will say, oh, but it was so painful when I dated a neurodivergent person that I'm just going to stay away from dating neurodivergent people in the future. And it's like, well, first of all, it means such a massive range of things to be neurodivergent. And often people, you know, view themselves as neurotypical and might only discover in much later life that they are neurodivergent. And they might discover that because, you know, that's something that they've acquired over time, or sometimes, you know, for some people it's to do with maybe a traumatic brain injury. It could be something like that, or it could be after an illness, or, you know, just loads of things that people just come to an awareness that they might have been masking for a very long time, which is, I think, partly why we're seeing such a proliferation over the past few years of people getting diagnosed and also self-diagnosing with things like autism and ADHD, because we have greater awareness now, especially for women. You know, women have had such a poor record of being successfully diagnosed because women tend to learn very young how to mask well to fit into society, to the point where sometimes they're not even aware themselves that what they're doing is masking. Now, it's still usually causing a massive amount of energy drain and discomfort, but they might not be aware that that's what they're doing because they just learned so young to mask.
But
absolutely people who are neurotypical can date neurodivergent people. And also, I think it's, you know, as you might be getting the idea from as we're talking about this, I'm not sure it's totally helpful to divide the world into neurotypical and neurodivergent just because there's so many such range within that. And obviously someone who's deemed neurotypical can still have loads of kind of, you know, things that they find difficult, strengths that they have, qualities, you know, that will be such an overlap with someone who's neurodivergent that I think it's much more about working out how to have self-awareness and, you know, kind of communicate about this rather than dividing people into groups and, you know, kind of separating.
Sure,
like
labelling
that.
People. Okay, there's new terminology with this as well. Is it neurospicy? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So neurospicy is a term that's been used over the past few years, which it means different things to different people, but it's basically someone saying that they're neurodivergent, but they either maybe haven't gotten diagnosed, and so they just know that they're neurodivergent in some form, but they haven't got a specific label for that. Or it might mean that they have traits of different kinds of neurodivergence, of different neurodivergences, let's say, but they, you know, again, aren't really interested in, let's say, giving themselves a ton of different labels.
Yeah.
So they might just refer to themselves as neurospicy.
Neurospicy. Okay, so if you're listening to this and you suspect you might be neurodivergent,
yeah,
what would the next step be?
Well, I think
if you do want to get it diagnosed.
Yeah, so some people really want to get diagnosed because that can be helpful for getting, you know, support and different kinds of, you know, access and accommodation and things like that with your work, you know, that your work will accommodate you in terms of, it could be like the amount of working hours or the time of day that you work. It could be the type of tasks that you're given, so just so that they can help. You know, realistically, we should be doing this for all people. It shouldn't be specific to neurodivergence. And obviously, we do it with disability as well, where, you know, if we could all be a bit more flexible about how to support people to be able to do their best work, knowing that there's obviously going to be some limitations with that depending on the kind of organization and type of work. But that, you know, It can be really helpful to get diagnosed for that reason. But also lots of people just don't want to be diagnosed. They don't really want to feel like their identity is attached to a label as such. And so, you know, I would say whether you want to be diagnosed or not, and that might change in time, just start reading about it. Start reading, start listening to podcasts. There's loads of fantastic podcasts now about neurodivergence, specifically ones about neurodivergent people dating neurotypicals, you know, and so just doing some research on that, getting some books, getting some podcasts. You're probably going to feel a lot less alone. You're going to understand yourself better, and it'll probably make dating, you know, although it can sometimes be make certain things maybe confronting or disappointing, you're probably going to have a lot more information to be able to use to be able to communicate better and work out your sort of sensitivities and limitations and be able to, you know, enjoy each other better.
I think I'm going to set up a dating app called NeuroSpicy.
Love it.
Okay. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks for that information. And you can catch Rachel on Instagram. She is our mental health consultant and therapist. She is on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And we'll be back next week with more sex and relationship therapy. If there's anything you would like us to discuss, you can always get in touch with the show 51552 via text, or you can mail jen@rte.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.